Good morning and welcome to Mornings with a Stranger, episode 62. 62 is an interesting number. It sounds very playful. Like, if you asked a little kid how many of something they had and they had 62 and be like, I got 62. Be like, I got 62. It's a good number. Anyway, good morning and welcome to morning and welcome to welcome to the podcast. So I'm finishing making my tea. Just so you don't think dripping sounds are other things, it is tea and water. USA Today published a study that says that about a third of Medicare patients have surgeries in the last year of their life, and about 18% are operated on in the last month of their life. And I just like have a lot of questions about that, and I didn't have access to the full article. If you listen to the first podcast, you'll understand why I'm not doing massive research on these things. But I have a lot of questions about that, and probably questions that wouldn't be answered anyway, because they probably couldn't. The questions are like, so how many of these people really want the surgeries? Because when the point of the article also is, we know that as somebody gets older, surgery gets more dangerous. So are these surgeries happening and then people are dying? Like, is the surgery sort of pushing them over the edge, be that the last month, the last year? Or are these surgeries that are, you know, are they to keep people comfortable? What is the point? Like, what's the point of the surgery? And how do the people feel about having the surgery? When you have Medicare, a certain amount of things are paid for, more so. And how many people would not have the surgery if it wasn't going to be paid for? And I'm very curious about that. Like, I don't want to tell somebody to not be comfortable at the end of their life. And especially if it was me, if it's about comfort, then maybe I'd be all about it. But surgery, not so comfortable. Usually not comfortable. And I don't know what types of surgeries either, as I've kind of stated. So you don't know how big or small they are. But I am kind of fascinated with that, or interested in what people get to choose. How much are they pushed? How much are they encouraged? And how much do they actually want to do? I have certainly heard of interesting stories about people who have elders in their family who they were kind of pushed or suggested to have surgery at a pretty late time that was concerning to the people that I knew. And I certainly know other times people themselves have said, I'm not going to last very long. We don't need to do this. And I've certainly heard stories as well, people who the insurance company says, well, you need to have the surgery. And if you don't have the surgery, there are consequences that might relate to losing aspects of your insurance or whatever the case might be. And I don't know if they do that with really old people on Medicare. Really don't have a clue. I, for some reason, am an advocate for people being able to make decisions to not do some of the surgery, probably because I really hate surgery. And that's not to say I don't want to have it if it's important, and if it's going to make my life better and more enriched or whatever the case might be. But I hate healing from surgery so much. I can't imagine in the last year of my life, and again, you, I suppose, don't know. Lots of questions here. You know, if you really don't know how long you've got to go, you know, you're doing things to prolong a good life, hopefully. And I think we have so much prolonging life is the goal, and we prolong a life, but are we prolonging a good life? And I know it's a delicate subject because some people, when you start talking about this, get really annoyed that you're trying to not give people care and killing them off early. And that's not the point. But would you rather live, and it's not exactly a but would you rather live 5 more years in a very uncomfortable state where maybe as time goes on, people don't see you as much anymore, you tend to be more alone, or you end up having to have other people take care of you? Or would you rather have less years with really good quality that you get to partake in? And I don't think we talk about some of that stuff enough. I'm always fascinated when the subject of death comes up, who's willing to talk and who isn't. Luckily, I've been able to have some really cool conversations about this with people and have been around a few people while they're dying. And one in particular who was very open and very willing to talk about a lot of stuff, wasn't excited to go at all and fought it all the way, but we were at least able to talk about it. And I so encourage that with anybody. I was just having a conversation with somebody else, or somebody who was basically, we were discussing the whole funeral concept and what's the real point of the funeral. You know, it is for the people, obviously, who are still around and for them to get together and hang out. And is that what people do? Is it helpful for people? And then if you aren't willing to discuss what you want in your funeral, I did a project once about what people wanted at their funeral. And so many people said it's not their choice. And we were talking about what a burden that can really leave on the people who are there to plan when they're trying to honor your memory and you in a way that you might want to be honored or just represented. That leaving that to somebody else is really kind of unfortunate. Like, you know, maybe leave room to do what they want, but to be able to say, hey, I would like this or I wouldn't like this, you create a lot of comfort that somebody knows they're doing the right thing. And honor them, the person who is taking care of your funeral and your end of life, by letting them know beforehand that they're doing the right thing. And then they can feel really good about making those decisions. And they feel like they're doing that for you and in the way you want to, as opposed to kind of taking a guess and hoping they're doing the right thing. So talk about these things, people. and end of life stuff and all of that. How do you want to spend the rest of your life? There's a great book, and I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but one of the questions that this doctor asks people is just, what does it mean to be living for you? And what does it mean to not be living for you? And, you know, what if you can't do X, X, and X anymore, which for some people, they are very specific. If I can't do this, if I can't eat this, if I can't whatever, I'm not really living. So it helps you, it helps a person know kind of if life support issues happen or all of these things, it helps them know that you're doing things in the way that they desire. And I know there's a lot of concern up to last minute. You might change your mind. And then do we prolong people's lives in a way that they're really struggling with and maybe can't even say from the inside of their body where they can't communicate or whatever? But we want to give them the choice and we want to give them the autonomy. And I totally get that. Like, I appreciate that. And that's a good idea. But what really does happen to the person? And these are questions we can't easily ask without a Ouija board. maybe we should. Maybe we should be channeling many more people who have died and ask them about their death process and see how that goes. Could be very, very fascinating. Anyway, just thoughts, questions, ideas around that today that this brought up. So thank you so much for listening. I would say this was a downer topic, but I don't really always see it as a downer topic. I see it as an interesting topic that I wish we could see it as less of a downer topic and talk about it more, as it really, really does help the people who are in the process of dying. I've known some people who work with people in the last days of their life and in hospice or whatever, who have said that they have been able to talk to the person about death, but their family won't, or their family's like, oh, you're going to be okay. We're like, I'm in hospice. I'm dying. I'm not going to be okay. Can we talk about this and have some good time and good discussions together? And I think we're getting better about that, but I think we need to keep going because there's still a lot of resistance that I think is hurtful for the people left behind and hurtful for the people who really do want to talk about it and express their feelings and don't get the opportunity to do that and have these conversations that can be really bonding and really insightful about people. We should be less afraid to have those. Anyway, have a great morning if you can. Sorry, like I said, not trying to be a downer, so I hope you don't see it that way. Have a great day and thank you so much for listening. Check out morningswithastranger.com and Facebook at Mornings with a Stranger, no spaces. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.